Text for the sermon this morning is found in the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6, particularly verse 11 and 12, but I will read from verse 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not wrestle against blood and human flesh, but we wrestle against principalities. That is, spiritual rulers, plural. We wrestle against powers. That is, spiritual powers, plural, who claim to exercise authority over us. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this age. We wrestle against spiritual creatures of evil in the heavenlies. Yes, human beings oppose us. But behind the human enemies is a vast spiritual empire under the control of the mastermind of evil, which is the devil. In order to understand this real empire of evil, a spiritual empire of evil, we must go back to the beginning. Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." God created Satan and the fallen angels. In the beginning, they were good. God tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that when God had finished all his work of creation, he looked upon it and he said, "Behold, it is all very good." Something terrible went wrong with God's glorious creation. We know from various statements in the Bible that Satan led a great rebellion in heaven against the living God. Satan was one of the greatest of all the beings that God made, and he was lifted up in pride, being puffed up with pride and being filled with envy of man whom God made in God's own image. Satan rebelled against the Lord and fell from the estate in which God created him. When Satan rebelled, other angels followed him. The devil and his angels, the Bible says, were cast out of heaven in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And Jude writes in verse 6 of his letter, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, God has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." It is interesting that God still calls them angels. That tells us an important fact in God's universe. the devil and his angels who rebelled with Satan against God could change their ethical status before God from willing service unto the Lord their Creator to complete rebellion against God their Creator. But they could not change the fact that God created them angels. They could not change their being and their existence. They remain what God created them to be in the first place. This is true of man too. When man sinned against God and rebelled against Him, he did not cease to be man. He did not become something other than human. No, man is a fallen human being. The image of God is marred in his fallen state, but man is still made in the image of God. And that is why the Bible still uses these terms even after the devastating effects of sin. Fallen angels are still spiritual creatures that God created in the beginning to be His messengers and His servants in all of the universe, doing His will. Among the principalities and powers that God created in the beginning were also the devil and the angels who rebelled with Him against God. And when they fell by rebelling and sinning against God who created them, they remained principalities and powers. That is why God calls them by those terms in our text in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. There is something about these great beings that God created that did not change when they rebelled against God. They retained great power and great knowledge and great skill and craftiness. We do not know what Satan's position was before he rebelled against God. He seems to have had great dominion and responsibility. The Bible says in Jude 9, Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring a reviling accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." This indicates that only the Lord God Himself is greater than the devil, who rules the kingdom of evil and the principalities and the powers of darkness. There was war in heaven after Christ came in human flesh and suffered on the cross to redeem us from our sins. Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his angels and defeated the devil and his angels. The angels that followed Satan did not keep their first estate. They lost their first estate. At one time they were faithful servants of God in the universe, and now God has confined them to one small corner of His universe, this earth on which man lives. Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." And there the Lord calls Satan the prince of the power of the air, because God has confined him to this earth where he is reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Satan is enraged at the righteousness and the truth of God the Creator. Satan is enraged at the grace and the love and mercy of God to sinners. Satan is enraged at the atonement and the mediation of Jesus Christ on behalf of His people. Satan is enraged because God has overthrown Satan and God has reduced his dominion to this earth. The devil is not less dangerous, but even more dangerous. Here on the earth, the devil is feverishly making a last-ditch stand stand against the living God who created heaven and earth and against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of his energy, all of his skill, all of his wisdom, all of the power that God gave him at creation is now concentrated on one thing. And that one thing is your destruction. If you are a Christian, Satan devotes all of his time and all of his power to the destruction of the people of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only thing the devil is interested in. He devotes all of his time and all of his power to that one great objective. The real evil kingdom is not an earthly kingdom like North Korea. The real evil kingdom is the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of sin, which is in every land and in every place on the face of the earth, including right here where we live. And that is why God tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, that we need the whole armor of God to fight against the devil, to fight against the fallen angels, to fight against the whole kingdom of darkness and evil. If God's people in the first century in the town of Ephesus in Asia Minor needed to put on the whole armor of God, then you and I also need to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are involved in a great conflict with the spiritual things in heavenly places and this great evil spiritual power that seeks desperately and persistently to destroy us. And here we see one of the great problems in our day. We have so many nominal Christians who do not discern at all this evil empire and what it is seeking to do. The result is that they are so complacent that they walk right into the devil's snare. They walk right into the trap of the devil that he set for them in order that they might be brought to eternal destruction by his wile. If people only realized what was going on, they would have an urgency about the welfare of the church and the Christian faith that is almost non-existent in our society today. Nominal Christians do not realize that the Christian life is a fierce and ferocious battle on every front and in every place. It is intense warfare in every area of human life. And they're not putting on the whole armor of God. They're not working to prepare their feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They're not concerned to take the shield of faith or put on the breastplate of righteousness. Their waist is not girded with truth. And if you ask them to write out what the Christian faith is, they would not be able to do it. They do not take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. They do not know the Bible well enough to use it in hand-to-hand combat with anyone. And because they're not taking the whole armor of God, they will learn too late that the devil has taken them captive by his wiles and by his stratagems to do his will. And this is true in every walk of life, in every human endeavor. What are the wiles or the stratagems of the devil? The Greek word is not easy to translate. It is used twice in the New Testament. Once in Ephesians 4, verse 14, and here in Ephesians 6, verse 11. The Greek word includes two important concepts. The first is this. It includes the idea of pursuing a plan and a purpose. Satan is pursuing one plan and one purpose relentlessly with great energy and perseverance. And that has been his goal from the beginning. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He was out to destroy and to kill man made in God's image from the beginning. He was out to destroy and kill spiritually every single member of the human race made in the image of God. And that is still his motive. That is still his goal. That is still his relentless purpose. The Bible says that the unbelieving world as a whole is under the dominion of Satan. Satan is not concerned to ensnare the Buddhists in evil. They're already serving him and his wicked purposes. Satan is not concerned to ensnare the Muslims in evil. They are already serving him and his wicked purposes. The devil is not concerned to ensnare the existentialists in evil. They already serve him and his wicked purposes. Satan is not concerned to entrap and ensnare the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons in evil. They are already serving him and his evil and wicked purposes. Now Satan concentrates all his wiles, all his devices, all his stratagems, all his crafty schemes, all his deceitful plotting on people like you and me. People who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of his devices and all of his power is arrayed against us in order to deceive us into actually serving him and his wicked purposes instead of loving the Lord and serving him with all of our heart. And it may be that we're serving the devil when we think that we're serving Jesus Christ. That's still the great object and the great goal of the devil. That's the first aspect of this Greek term used in our text. The second aspect of this term, wiles, is that Satan pursues this great purpose, this great plan, this objective by deceiving people. He uses deception to accomplish his great plan and purpose. The devil is the great deceiver. He always makes the evil he wants you to do look good, and the good look evil. And we see this clearly in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. What was it like when Jesus Christ ministered here on this earth in the flesh? When he walked among men? Jesus said the church leaders of his day were like whitewashed sepulchres, tombs for dead people that are washed with white limestone on the outside and look pretty. Why did he say that? He called them whitewashed sepulchres or tombs because they look so holy and so righteous and so godly on the outside, but inside they were corrupt, they were spiritually dead, and they were wicked. They were ready to kill the Christ of God through judicial process. We see the same thing today in our own society and in our own country. What was the result of the false teaching of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees in Jesus' day? They made the commandments of God of no effect by their traditions, by their teaching, by the way they lived, by their practice. They nullify the law of God by their misinterpretation of the Word of God. They explained away what God said is good and right by their misinterpretation of the Bible so that they did not feel bound to obey God's Word or God's commands. They trampled underfoot the Ten Commandments and the Holy Law of God and the truths of the Scripture. While they acted and looked so godly, so righteous, so zealous, so holy. And that is exactly what is happening, brothers and sisters, in our society today through the Christian churches. The churches in this land are teaching people that God does not want us to do what He commanded in the Ten Commandments and in His Holy Word. That was for some other time. That was for some other place. That was for some other circumstance. That was for some other day. That was for some other people. That's not for us today. Brothers and sisters, those are the wiles of the devil. That is the deception of Satan. It is so common today that we are not even shocked by it anymore. A sports star makes millions of dollars breaking the fourth commandment every week. And the next day or the next week, he is honored by a famous evangelist or a media preacher by giving his Christian testimony. And the result is that thousands and thousands of people are deceived into thinking that you can be a Christian and have salvation and everlasting life while you trample underfoot the law of God and His holy commandments. And that is exactly the same thing that happened when Jesus Christ lived here on this earth. Through the apostasy and the unbelief of the churches, we have reached a place where people believe that they can go to heaven and they do not have to pay any attention at all to the law of God. They do not have to have any zeal at all for the house of God and for the church of God. They do not have to hunger and thirst for the knowledge of God's word. For the word of God is spirit and it is life. And they do not have to be sanctified unto holiness. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. The Bible says that we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be the light of the world. But if you cover up the light, it's good for nothing. If the salt loses its preserving power, it's good for nothing. Can anyone look at our land today and at the church today and doubt that the salt has lost its savor? That the light is in large measure covered up? How could the things that are happening in our country today transpire if most of the churches and most of the Christians still were salt and light as God wants them to be? These things can only happen because the churches and the Christians have lost their savor. One way that the devil does this is by saturating the way of life in a country and the thinking of the people with all kinds of false definitions until vast numbers of professing Christians succumb to that falsehood. The communists did that. They said something over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until people believed it. That's what's happening today. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. And people will believe it. The devil has done this in our country by one theological falsehood after the other. Dispensationalism, modernism, two kingdoms, grace without law, attacking the inerrancy and the sufficiency of Holy Scripture, attacking the biblical doctrine of creation, attacking the biblical doctrine of the atonement, the biblical doctrine of the church, the biblical doctrine of the Lord's Day, removing the idea of sin from life, from our culture, from our society, removing the prohibition against sexual immorality of any kind or every kind, making vows meaningless, and the list goes on. The devil has completely redefined the Christian faith, and people do not have the knowledge or the discernment to see what has happened. The truth of God's holy word, which always puts sinful man down and always exalts the righteousness and holiness of the one true and living God. That always exalts the perfect righteousness of God Himself and His glory, is not being preached. It's not being taught faithfully in the churches in this land. Instead, the lies of the devil are being taught. And even those lies are made to look good and harmless. And the people welcome it. They love it. They are glad to hear it. They are deceived and destroyed by the kingdom of darkness. And that is why the Bible says that judgment must always begin with the house of God. It begins there because God has given the church the means to defeat the devil. You might think that I'm exaggerating, that this is hyperbole. But you can go to 90% of the churches in America today, and you would never hear any warning about these important things. You can search high and low in a city of 300,000 people to hear the message of God's word plainly declared, and you will not find it in some places. If you do not see what has happened, you are blind. How can we expect the Supreme Court of the United States to take a firm stand against abortion when churches right here where we live will not take that stand on the truth of God clearly revealed to us in the Bible? They will not do it. How can you expect the Supreme Court to stand against it? How can we expect to have civil laws against homosexuality and homosexual marriage when the churches are doing so much to promote it by ordaining homosexuals and giving them positions of authority? How can we be surprised that civil governments begin to give these people the status of marriage when the church itself will join them in a mockery of holy matrimony? Satan comes as an angel of light, talking about love and compassion and kindness to people. The whole climate in both the church and the country changes from light to darkness. The tragedy is that so many people who say that they believe in Jesus Christ do not even discern these wiles of the devil. The reason is that they do not really live by the Bible at all, but rather by their own opinions and the opinions of other people around them. Our country today is full of such victims of the devil and his wiles. And it is all because they do not have the full armor of God, and therefore they are not able to stand up against the wiles of the devil. They do not read the scriptures and understand correctly what God is saying. They do not come faithfully to hear the word of God preached and taught. Brothers and sisters, do you understand the time in which you are living? Do you see the wiles of the devil in your daily life? Do you know the truth of the word of God? Are you putting on the whole armor of God? Or are you trying to stand against the wiles of the devil with your own knowledge and with your own strength and with your own program instead of God's program? Do you understand what has happened to us in our country? Do you have any idea what has happened to our churches? Do you understand why things have changed so much as they have and why the darkness seems only to be growing? You'll never be able to fathom these things. You'll never be able to understand them. You'll never be able to recognize the devil when he comes to attack you, unless you are constantly and diligently putting on the whole armor of God. There never was a time when this was more urgently needed than it is today. If you do not have a burning heart for the cause of Jesus Christ and for his church, if you are only lukewarm, is it not time to put your house in order? Is it not time for you to put on the whole armor of God? Jesus warned that he will spit us out of his mouth if we're lukewarm. If you discern what the Lord is talking about in our text, it is truly amazing to be a Christian, to know firsthand that we've passed from death into life, to know that the scales and the blindness have been removed from our hearts and from our understanding and from our eyes, so that we can see things that other people cannot even begin to see. How wonderful, how blessed it is to know that if we put on the whole armor of God, He will keep us safe from all the wiles of the devil. Even in the midst of a rapidly degenerating culture and society and people, God will protect and preserve us from all the wiles, from all the deception, from all the attacks, from all the snares and traps of the wicked one. It's amazing. And a great blessing to know that by putting on the whole armor of God, by taking up the whole armor of God, we can be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His sovereign and omnipotent might. So strong that there's not anything in all of creation that the devil has that he will be able to use to destroy you. Our ancestors in this country put on the whole armor of God. They loved God. They loved His Word. They loved His church. They loved the fervent prayer of the saints for the kingdom and for the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should imitate those who have gone before us in the faith, who were faithful. They said to their pastors, "Feed us with the Word of God. Give us more of Christ as He's revealed Himself in His Word. And let us pray for the blessing of the Lord upon His Word through the mighty and powerful working of His Holy Spirit. He will send it." That is what we need. We need to remember those who have gone before us. We need to remember what God has told us in His Word. And we need to repent before it is too late. May the Lord save us before it's too late. May He increase our hunger for His holy word, the sword of the Spirit. May He make us men, women, and young people of prayer. And may He build such character and such churches that we need to be ready to give an answer to all those who are asking us a reason for the hope that lies within us, who want to know about that light that we constantly are shining brightly in the midst of the darkness in which we are living. Love the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Meditate upon it. Lay it up in your hearts. Practice it in your lives. Grow in your hunger and in your thirst for Christ and for more and more of His Word and more of His truth and more of His life and more of His grace and more of His love and more of His presence. And grow in passionate, intercessory, pleading prayer that the power of God by the Spirit through His Word may transform lives and hearts of people who are deceived by the devil, who live in darkness, that they may be saved. Read the Scriptures. Love to have them expounded to you. Pray that the Spirit of God would be poured out upon His church and would use the faithful ministry of His Word to dispel the darkness and to defeat the wiles of the devil. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how many are the wiles of the devil? How great is his deception. And how great is his power by which he seeks to lead astray and to thwart the salvation and the righteousness and the truth and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, Father, you who are in us is greater than the devil who is in this world of darkness. Lord, stir our hearts, every one of us, that we may not be indifferent, but that we may realize this great battle in which we are engaged every moment of our lives, in our workplace, in our homes and families, in our recreation, in our thinking. Father, help us to realize this battle that is being waged in the Church of Jesus Christ. In all of the many things that make up our lives. And even, Father, in our laws, our civil governments. In all of these areas, there is a battle, a great battle. Help us to stand against the wiles of the devil, not to be deceived and led astray by him as so many have. Lord, deliver us, that we may not be taken captive to do the devil's will, and that in the evil day we may be able to withstand him, because we've taken up your truth in all of its fullness, not making excuses for any of it, not ignoring or neglecting any of it. And we've put on the breastplate of righteousness, and we've prepared our feet with the gospel of peace, and we have the shield of faith, and we are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and we have the helmet of salvation and the sword of your Spirit, which is your word, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that your kingdom would come, that your will may be done, and that the darkness may be driven out by the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, shine your light into our hearts, and shine your light through us into this world, and revive and restore your church and this people in which we live, that we may not be consumed in your judgment, but may be blessed in your mercy with salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.